The Mars One project aims to put a colony on the Red Planet starting in 2023. Now, it's a bold venture, obviously not without risks. Is it worth the effort? Will it really happen? And would you go? You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And joining me are Dean Regas, outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory, Tom Stupinski, the Thomas Jefferson Chair of Space Informatics at the University of Cincinnati, and WVXU's Ann Thompson. Now, I love the wording of that promotional video. Mars, you won't be visiting, you'll be staying. So I take it one of the appeals is that this would most definitely be the lifetime of the adventure of a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we've been thinking about is if you can send people one way to Mars, that saves a whole lot of trouble. Now, then again, you're sending people one way to Mars. You got to get past that, the moral and ethical implications behind that. It saves you a lot of fuel, saves you a lot of money. But is it something that's really practical? Is this something that we can do also?
Tom, what are some of the difficulties that would face such a project?
Well, there are all kinds of difficulties. There are financial difficulties. There are technical difficulties. There are health difficulties. You name it, they are there. Eventually, we have to go to Mars for maybe one reason which was not mentioned in the opening piece, and that is as an insurance policy for humanity. As we all know, there is we face as a humanity the danger of big asteroid destroying the civilization on our planet. So the best insurance is to colonize another planet, and Mars seems like a good choice. However, this particular Mars One project is a very nice idea, but not really probably we probably not going to achieve this by 2020.
And you have many more reasons, as you were telling me. But Dean, tell us. Are a lot of people excited about going to Mars? I mean, clearly these people are, but just in your regular discussions, your planetary discussions, is this a topic that comes up very often?
Well, it usually goes two ways. One, if I ask people at the Cincinnati Observatory, they ask about Mars and going to Mars. And if I say, who would like to go to Mars? Everybody says, yeah, of course, that'd be great. That'd be great. Then I have to go in the details of how you get to Mars. It takes you 7 months to fly there. You spend a year on the planet while everything aligns. Then you fly 7 months back. And you're in a cramped place. Usually when I tell kids, I say, imagine you're living in a school bus for 2 years and 2 months. And you have to shower in there. You have to get along with your friends in there. You have to eat, sleep. And then the best is you have to go to the bathroom in there. Once I say that, all the hands go down. They don't want to go to Mars after that.
Tom, you started to touch on this. You mentioned there are health problems in making this trip. I think what I've heard is that you really can't come back to Earth because there are too many physiological changes that go on in your body when you're on Mars, not to mention that there are also psychological things that you'll face that could be even greater obstacles to returning.
Let me give you one example, which people usually do not realize, is that when you're flying for seven months to Mars, you are unprotected by the magnetic field of Earth. And any solar flare will kill the crew immediately. Not immediately. They will die terrible death after a few days. So the way to address this is that you have to actually carry your own blood, which will be screened in a safe location, which somehow, you know, protect this from all of this radiation. And after the solar flare will hit you, you have to perform transfusion on yourself. When you talk like that to enthusiasts, they usually cool their enthusiasm significantly.
I would say so.
And I remember I was visited Houston, and I asked NASA people. I said, you know, what's the shielding against solar flares? Like when they're up in the space station, and they said, "Yeah, it's water. You hide behind the water tanks. That's their radiation protection."
Makes me a little scared. Well, and just to put in context, Mark, Tom worked for NASA for decades, and he studied Mars, so you're familiar with the surface of Mars. What's it like? I mean, would it be boring to be there, or is it lots of mountains and valleys? And tell us what it's like.
It will be very boring. It's mostly a desert. The best analog on Earth would be the Atacama Desert in Chile or dry valleys in Antarctica. Antarctica, you know, is covered by ice, but there is some small portion of Antarctica called dry valleys, which is not covered by ice. And that's pretty much climatically and, you know, landscape-wise, the closest analog.
Randy from Anderson, welcome to the show. What's your comment?
Two quick things. First, I wanted to say great idea, and that it should maybe be an underground kind of cavern environment. And also to Dean, he is really the treasure of Cincinnati. Thank you, Dean.
Hey, Randy. Hey, thanks, Randy. Thanks a lot.
Randy, thank you for your comment. And also we have Brandon from Cincinnati. Brandon, what is your comment?
My comment was like, just this is one of the coolest ideas that I've heard in a while. And it goes back to one of my life philosophies is that the only chance that the human race has for immortality is by, you know, colonizing other planets and, you know, just getting out there. And just how cool would it be to just leave all the war, the social things behind and start fresh?
Yeah, it's an inspirational idea. I mean, it's something like this that I think people are longing for. That's why they had so many volunteers for this. And I think it's a mission that we should do. Just this might not be quite the right model, but it does fascinate me in a way. If there's one tie in that it could be a reality show, and every 2.5 years you'd send a new crew based on who you vote on. And I mean, it sounds like Big Brother a little bit. You go to the Big Brother house, and how many seasons of Big Brother?
It sounds a little bit like a science fiction movie.
Yeah. But the only problem that I would start to worry about, and I bet Tom would agree with me, is that you send these crews there. What happens in season two when one of them dies, or Bambi falls into Valles Marineris, or something like that? I mean, what are you going to do after that? It's going to be tough. This is why a government-run one would be a lot better. But will it happen faster? That's the question. And which one could speed things up?
Tom was wondering about the money also, the money aspect of it.
The money is very important because it costs a fortune. And I'm not sure the government is the best entity to run such a project. But whoever is going to run this is going to need a lot of money. The Mars One project heavily depends on the SpaceX hardware. But the SpaceX hardware, even so it is cheaper than NASA hardware, it is still very expensive. So they would require a lot of funds even to start.
Brandon, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. And you were talking about should the government do this? Should it be privately funded? It seems like we're seeing more and more privately funded efforts to go into space. Spaceship One, Spaceship Two, the efforts of Virgin Group, things like that. Is that the trend of the future, privatization of space?
Well, I think so. And that's been a lot in the – I think it's a combination effort that's going to be happening. It's going to be government and private industry. And I know the Obama administration took a lot of flack for canceling programs that were going to go back to the moon and everything like that. And but I think that is the way of the future. I think that we need to have some privatization in there. And these private firms have already shown very fast that they can go up and do stuff. They can send things up to the space station. So I think that they might have a little bit of an edge right now.
We'd like to hear your questions and comments. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And, you know, my big question is, why pick Mars? Either one of you can feel this. Why pick Mars as opposed to colonizing the moon first?
Tom was saying Mars would be bad, so I'll let you go first.
I think that that Mars is much more interesting than the moon for many reasons. It's a bigger body. Even so, it is not so big. You have to realize that the entire surface of the Mars is approximately the same as the surface of Africa. However, the moon is much smaller still. Also, the gravity on Mars is much higher than the gravity on the moon. And finally, moon is a completely dead body. There has been nothing going on the moon, geologically speaking, for billions of years. And Mars is a little bit more alive and thus has more material which you can utilize for whatever you need there, and basically is a better place to live. It's not to say it's good, but it's better.
So, guys, if you think this is the wrong model, the reality TV show method, and you think it's important to colonize Mars or get to Mars, how would you do it?
Well, it is something that I think that – I mean, personally, I want it to happen before, you know, before I die. I want to see this happening. And for me, it's kind of changed a little bit. I thought that, you know, a few years ago, if somebody asked me, do you want to go to Mars? I'd say, no way. Forget about it. But I don't know. Something's changed in me that I think that we really need to do this. And so what's going to be the motivation for people? And what motivated us to the moon was a competition. And I suspect that we are going to be coming towards a competition stage, not with Russia, but with China. And that can the American ego sustain an idea that China is first to Mars? Can we do that? I have a feeling that we will step up at the time that's needed to do that.
And that's a good analogy, because I remember as a kid, I was glued to the TV watching Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin take those first steps on the moon. And I was just awestruck. It was so inspiring. And do you think that this Mars One project would have the same kind of impact as that?
I think so. Going back to the moon would be boring. Going to an asteroid, which would be exciting to me, would be boring to the public. Going to Mars is the next step. And I think that's what happened is when Neil Armstrong passed away last year. That's where it changed my mind. I said, it's been a long time since we've gone somewhere new, and I think we need to get going on that.
Yeah. Isn't there a safer place, like some place between the moon and Mars?
There are safer places, but they are not not excited. You know, you have to have something like Mars to get public excited. And by the way, I'm not actually convinced that the reality show is a bad model for it. I don't know. Is the reality show worse model than political competition with China? I have no idea.
Exactly. But yeah, I think asteroids, that's the other one that's been talked about, that we could go to asteroids. It'd be cheaper, faster. But it doesn't have the same zing, does it? I mean, to go to an asteroid or Mars is what we've always dreamed of. And the more we know about Mars, the more we're finding possible signs of water that's there now underneath the ground.
John in Westwood is joining our conversation. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your comment?
I wanted to say I just think it's kind of foolish to talk about science fiction if it were to really happen. There would have to be a significant amount of technology invented for this to even be possible. And like the one of your guests said, people to provide protection from solar flares during the transportation aspect of it alone is just not physically possible, I believe, with the science we currently have. So I think it's kind of silly to talk about. It's an interesting idea to populate other planets. That's great. But I think the timeline is just not realistic. It's kind of
most definitely. The timeline is very ambitious, that's for sure. I mean, the most conservative folks are saying 2030 is when we can maybe get this together. But yeah, Tom, radiation is the biggest thing, and we don't know how to shield from that very well right now. And so in the meantime, we are now in the midst of doing a lot of science fiction stuff. We have sent robotic crafts to almost every world in our solar system now. I mean, there's something at Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn. They're all around, and there are representatives out there and doing a lot of good work that, you know, well, humans, we can't send them yet, but we're getting a lot of feedback from that.
And before the show, Tom, you called this a suicide mission.
It is a suicide mission because this particular project do not provide for return to Earth. And obviously, given the condition on Mars and given the distance from Earth to Mars, the lifespan of those volunteers, I wouldn't give them any more than maybe 2 years.
And what that could damage future efforts, because what's going to happen if people die on this mission? Could that possibly shut down all future exploration? It's just not worth the risk?
Well, previous examples of that, when the space shuttle's disasters happened, we shut down the space program for a while. That would be disastrous. And the more you think about it, the more space is not a friendly place for us. That's for sure. Our Earth, it makes me really appreciate the Earth a lot more, learning about these other places. But at the same time, there are people that want to take the risk. And if they know the risks ahead of time, should we shoot for it? Should we go for it? It's a tough moral dilemma for me.
Here, sign here.
Exactly. Yeah. If you sign away, well, I mean, you know what you're going into.
Sign this waiver, right?
Yeah, but this is why private companies or even, you know, a reality show is more viable than the government mission, because a government will be really responsible for lives of these people. And a private effort, probably a little less.
Yeah, exactly. NASA, their line is basically, we would never do a one-way mission. That's just not in That's not in their business. So you're right. I think the private, if we're going to do one way, then that would be the only way to have our hands clean in some ways.
What real benefits would we get from doing this? What would we derive from a Mars colony? Realistically, are there products that we can get out of it, research that we can get out of it, things that we can find out that would make it worth doing?
It's not necessarily what we're going to find on Mars. It's what we're going to make to get us there, the technologies that we're going to advance just to get us there. And that's the another NASA line is, for every dollar we invest in NASA, we get $7 back in technology that's developed. And so a lot of technology we use from day to day was developed during the space program. So getting to Mars, well, I'm not sure. What do you think they would – what are they going to find there, Tom?
I don't think that they're going to find anything immediately practical. So from my point of view, the biggest benefit is to show that this is possible, because this lowers barrier for other mission, which eventually may find something useful. But as I said at the very beginning, the most useful thing is that the human race should have more than one house.
And I also think the inspiration, it's going to inspire a lot of people too. It already has inspired the people to send in their applications for their suicide mission, exactly, like you said.
78,000 of them.
That's right.
In two weeks.
Are you surprised by that kind of response, 78,000 people in 2 weeks?
I need to pull out my psychology degree to analyze these people. It's interesting to think, you know, that's a lot to lose and something to gain, apparently.
So wrapping things up, Dean, does this happen?
Boy, reading their website, the Mars one looks sketchy at best. I would call it possibly a Ponzi scheme of some sort or something. But the idea might take hold somewhere else.
And Tom, what do you think?
I think that this particular project will not happen in the time scale that they advertise. But I strongly believe that we're going to colonize Mars eventually.
It will happen. It might not be under these circumstances.
No, it's not going to be under these circumstances.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Dean Regas is the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory. Tom Stepinski is the Thomas Jefferson Chair of Space Informatics at UC. And Ann Thompson, WVXU's technology reporter. Thanks for being here this afternoon. Thank you for all your phone calls. And thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program is Pete Reitmeier, and the technical director is Rick Andrus. I'm Mark Haney.